If we can, let's call the meeting back to order, and we are here meeting with individuals who want to chat about polling places, I believe, conduct of elections, whatever that topic may be. But the appointment was made by Ms. Jenkins. Would you like to speak first? Just come up, and if you would, for the record, oh, have you got something for me? Come, that's all right. Come on up.
Each of you.
Okay.
These are two different letters that lots of people in my area got about the upcoming April election.
First, if you will, to speak right, just pull that microphone down if you want. I know it's bothersome, but state who you are for the record, and then tell us what this letter is that you just gave us.
Okay. My name's Anita Sue Jenkins. I live at 33587 U.S. Highway 160, Ruta, Missouri, with my husband in the very same house. Okay? And I want to tell you about how mixed up it is down there. It is so mixed up, I can't hardly explain it to you. And when I came here to the courthouse this morning, I was handed an email that all you people got, not us. Okay, do you want to, you guys want to read those letters for me? Because
is this something you want read into the?
Yes, two letters from the clerk's office.
One of you gentlemen care to do that? Do you want me to do it?
Go ahead, Ron.
That's the bill.
First letter first?
Yeah.
March 1, 2011. Dear William Jenkins, this letter is to inform you that your polling place is temporarily being moved for this upcoming April 5th election only from the Mark Twain School to the Gazee Mills Nazarene Church. The reason for this change is that there are only 90 voters in your precinct that have an issue to vote on, because not all districts, such as schools, cities, wards, ambulance, and fire districts, etc., are running elections this year. Your temporary polling place location is Kazee Mills Nazarene Church. It gives the address. As always, if you're prevented from going to the polling place on election day, you may vote absentee. Feel free to contact our office at, and it gives that information, and it's signed by, or the letter is from, I should say, Donna Neely.
Okay, can I just interrupt just a minute?
Yes, ma'am.
Then on March the 2nd, I went to her office and pointed out to her, brought it to her attention. Bill's normal voting place is not Mark Twain. It's the little church in Reuter. My normal place for voting is the Mark Twain School. I didn't get one of them letters. Okay, so now we read the second letter that we got just a couple days after I went to visit her.
Give me just a second. I'm making a note. All right. Dated the same day, March 1, 2011. Dear William Jenkins, we apologize for the previous letter, which incompletely stated your normal polling location. This letter is to inform you that your polling place is temporarily being moved for this upcoming April 5th election only from the North Star Church to the Kazee Mills Nazarene Church. The reason for this change is that there are only 90 voters in your precinct. The letter then is identical to the one before.
Okay. Then, when I came to your courthouse this morning, can I walk up there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Someone in your courthouse gave you this email that the reason she closed those places for the April election is we don't have nothing to vote on. And if you'll look at the numbers on your email, they don't match the numbers on the letter that she gave you, that she gave us. Okay? Do you understand that? Okay, this is so hard. If you don't understand something, stop me and I'll try to explain it. Okay.
Cassie, I think I have the same email. I just want to make sure I'm looking at the same thing you are. Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Okay. I've always got to vote at the little church in Reuter. I've lived in Reuter since November of 97, I think. I live 7/10 of the mile from the Reuter Church. The last three elections, I've had to go down to Mark Twain and vote. Bill, that's my husband, that we live in the same house, he's got to vote at the little church. Got it? Okay. After each election, Bill would call the clerk's office and explain the situation. We're married. We live in the same house. We'll take care of it. It wasn't. So, finally, after Bill got this first little letter, I said, that's it. I'm going up there, and I'm going to talk to her in person. So I went up there and pointed out to her, that's not even Bill's normal voting place at Mark Twain. It's mine. Okay. She told me that day in her office on March the 2nd, she was telling all this stuff about stuff I didn't understand, but she told me eventually the Mark Twain School and the Little Reuter Church would be closed because of financial reasons, and we'd all have to go up to Sea Mills Junction, which is 13 miles, roughly 13 miles. And I thought that y'all had budgeted her plenty of money to keep these little voting places open for us. But and if you did, then where's all this money going that was budgeted for that? She said something about a survey letter. If we got a survey letter, why would we choose to vote at Mark Twain or Cassie Mills Nazarene Church when we live so close to the Reuter Church? We live like 8 miles from Mark Twain School. I live 13 miles from the Cassie Mills Junction. I live, yeah, okay. A day or two after I had went and visited with her, Bill got the second letter saying the first letter was wrong. And I will tell you, I did get a voter's card that I get to vote at the Little Reuter Church. But is my name going to be on the books? You know what I mean? I would just like to give you some examples of how mixed up it is down there. Johnny, Jesse, and Harold David all live in the same house. They live 3.6 miles from the Reuter Church. They get to vote at the Reuter Church. Alice and Hestel Selby live less than a quarter of a mile from the Reuter Church. They have to go to Mark Twain to vote. Steve, their son, lives practically in their yard in another house. He gets to vote at the Reuter Church. Alice might tell you this, but Alice called Donna Neely and said, could you please change us back to the Reuter Church because Hestel walks on two canes. And if you've ever been in the Mark Twain School, you have to walk down a long hallway to get to the gym to get to vote. She said, well, he can just vote absentee. Francis and Elwood Wyman live across the highway down in a holler from the church. They have to go to the Mark Twain School to vote. Their son and his wife, Randy and Belinda Wyman, live 150 to 200 yards from Francis and Elwood. They get to vote at the church. Bob and Becky Burgens live between me and the church. They have to go down to the Mark Twain School. Under normal conditions, I'm not talking about the April election, okay? Alice and Beth and Rocky Wyman, they live down the road from me. They get to come up to the church and vote, to the Reuter Church. I think it was the primary election when she ran. I went up to the little church to vote and couldn't. Gordon Getz, you guys probably don't know him. He's an old man. He lives on 125 North, which is below me. Him and his wife went there to vote, and they were turned away. He had to go clear to the Cassie Mills Nazarene Church to vote in that primary election. And the women working at the polls that day told me, we have turned away more voters than we've let vote We normally voted at the church, so we went up there expecting to get to vote. So I went ahead and voted. I went ahead and took the time and went down to Mark Twain just to vote again. How many just said, just forget it. I'm not even going to bother voting. You know what I mean? And if she does close, and she did tell me, eventually Mark Twain School and Little Rooter Church will be closed. How far are those people that live at the Missouri-Arkansas line, how far are they going to have to drive to vote? Clear up to the Cassie Mills Nazarene Church. And
can you give me an idea how far that is?
Where?
From that line that you just mentioned.
Missouri-Arkansas line? Mm-mm. 50 rounds.
So it's probably 25 miles one way, right?
That's right.
Okay.
This email has threw me. If we didn't have nothing to vote on, why did these people get letters? I didn't get one because I'm a Mark Twain voter. You understand? Why did we get those? Why did these people? Why was 60 letters mailed out if they don't even get a vote? I can't explain it to you. And if our little area is that, if that mixed up in our little area, what else is she mixing up? I don't know what her job is, but and I wish this was closer to the election, to some kind of an election.
I'd like to answer a specific question rather than
my turn.
Hold on, both. Donna, we'll call on you in a minute. Go ahead, ma'am.
I heard, since I've been in the courthouse this morning, that it's because she has new help. Okay, I'm a manager at the store. What them people do, fall back on me. You understand? I'm responsible.
I'm going to have to stop this because we have absentee voting going on.
Excuse me, just a minute.
And this is campaigning.
Excuse me, just a minute. I don't believe she's campaigning for anything that's on the ballot. And if that's a problem, and if you think that we're disturbing voters that are over there, I'll send someone over to make sure that there is no voter over there. If you will let this lady finish, then we can move on. Okay, Donna? I'll walk over and see if there are any voters that are being disturbed, but I don't think there are.
Up in the hallway? Just the hallway. Can't you turn mics on?
I'm not campaigning.
I know.
Never mind.
I don't understand what you're talking
I understand.
About.
Hold on.
Never mind.
She's killed the microphones that are out. No?
There's no way to do that. They're all mixed, so.
Really?
You may go ahead and check.
Yes. You're okay.
I don't understand what I did.
You didn't do anything as far as I'm concerned. We're gonna finish talking about what you're talking about. And then we'll come to you, Donna, and you can respond to each one of the issues that she has raised. She's raised a question. We just have to make sure. So Jim is currently doing that. Go ahead. You can continue. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know what I said.
It's all right.
But I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but maybe one of the reasons she's closing all these little places is I've heard she can't find a way to work at the polling places. I guess I'm done. I guess, but I think some more people want to talk.
Let me ask if Donna can respond to what you have stated, and then if there are others that wish to speak, we will do that as well. But Donna, go ahead now.
You said you received an email. I sent that to the elected officials here because I saw that the commission on Friday, and you said, why did I send it to you? Because I don't have your email. Number one, and number two, I saw that this was put on the agenda on Friday, and I sent the email out on Friday.
No, I didn't ask why I didn't get an email. I don't even have a computer. But I'm saying, why did you send those two letters to the 60 people down there if we don't even get a vote?
Let me let Donna respond to the things you said, and then we'll come back if there are other questions.
Do I go sit down now?
Yes, if you would. Okay. But I'll bring you right back up in a moment if you have other things to say. Let's let Donna answer the different things that you said.
Okay.
Donna is the election authority for Taney County, so she's the one to answer these questions.
So, gentlemen, since this is a commission meeting, I'm going to direct my responses to you.
Okay.
Even though you haven't brought these questions to me. As far as closing of the Bryant polling place and pro tem is not going to ever be closed as far as I'm concerned. If I said pro tem when I was discussing Bryant, I did not mean to. Only for this election is pro tem polling place and Bryant and Brown Branch being closed. However, yes, I am considering closing Bryant permanently in the future. And that will be a result of the redistricting once we get those numbers in. I am concerned with the number of voters in some of our larger polling places that I need to try and split off some of those voters and provide them, use my equipment that is currently being used at Bryant to split a larger polling place. For instance, I have some that have 3,000, some that have 5,000, and if you think it's inconvenient to drive 7 miles, you should imagine how inconvenient it is to wait for a large number of people to vote at these larger polling places. So I am looking to try and respond to polling place issues for the entire county. But pro tem, I just want to reiterate for anybody in pro tem or Mike Turnsquill, that polling place is not closing permanently. It has 473 voters currently, and I would not close a polling place with that number of voters. However, a polling place with 88 voters has become a concern when I have other polling places with 3,000 and 5,000. As to the letters, my deputy pulled the information for those letters, and she made a mistake. She did not deselect a button that she should have deselected that caused that pull and her entering in the number of 90. The reason I sent you the email is we started discussing it. She told me she'd made the error, and so we pulled the numbers. And Bryant has 39 qualified voters for this election. Brown Branch has 86, and Pro Tem only has 3. The reason Pro Tem only has 3 is that there are 3 persons who are currently voting at Mark Twain polling place that live in the Forsyth School District. So those 3 voters have been merged to Kazee Mill, where that ballot is currently at that polling place. And when I make a decision on locating moving people, I try to do it where the ballot is already there so I don't create another ballot split. The second letter was sent out to try and correct the first letter because we did not make it clear that it was temporary. And I also resolved Ms. Jenkins' problem immediately. As soon as she brought it to my attention, I looked her record up and her husband's record and asked her if she'd ever signed a survey, she or her husband, to go to a different polling place, because there has been surveys sent out and people who have requested leaving either Bryant or Brown Branch to vote at other polling places and have been moved. She said no, and I corrected the issue. As far as her husband notifying another individual, it has to be the individual voter themselves that contacts us, not the spouse, and they have to sign a document. I can't take it over the phone. We've had spouses angry at the other spouse and tried to keep him from voting. If you'll help me, Ron, were there any other issues that were brought up that you had questions on?
Do you have some other issues that you would like to, that she hasn't answered that you want to question her about?
Sure.
She flat out told me that Mark Twain and Reuter would eventually be permanently closed. Donna, you flat out said that.
I was probably thinking of Brown Branch.
Well, I mean, you're thinking of this. They mixed this up. They pushed the wrong button.
You know, Sue, people do make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I am not going to crucify my deputy for making an error. She did make an error. And we have apologized and resent the letter. What more do you want?
Okay. Why, when Bill called up there and said,
can you get... To who?
Who what?
To who? Who did he talk to?
You've had so many employees, I don't know who it was.
Well, you know...
You've had 26 in a year.
No, that's not true.
Okay. Fine. All right.
Guys, let's restrict our comments to the polling places.
Thank you.
Okay, why wasn't Bill told? Okay, I can't even say that.
No, go ahead.
When Bill called up there and said, hey, look, I voted the church, Bill, Sue has to vote at Mark Twain. Why wasn't he was told, okay, it'll be taken care of? Why wasn't he told, Bill, you can't do this, Sue needs to come in?
Well, I can't answer for every phone call that gets handled by another person. Unless he talked directly to me, and I don't remember the phone call. Did you talk directly to me, Bill? Did you talk directly to me?
No,
on the,
I haven't.
Do you know who you talked to?
I have no idea. I can't remember what happened yesterday.
I can't explain what happened between the time the deputy received the phone call and not getting the information to me. I mean, I can't explain every...
Can you explain why these people get a vote at Mark Twain and the people that live next door get a vote at the church?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
We sent out a survey at one of the times when we were merging voters for an April election, which, by the way, is a practice used all over this state by county clerks, including Mr. Hausman used to do it when he was clerk. It's not an unusual practice when the voters from all over the county are not going to be able to vote. And they're not able to vote because there are not issues on the ballot for them. So then we look for areas where there's an issue like that, which pro tem, obviously, you wouldn't want to keep a polling place open for three voters.
I don't think you understand what I'm even saying. If we got a survey letter. Why would I choose Mark Twain, which is 7 miles down the road, and Bill choose the church? Why would Allison Hestel choose?
The people that did select that, Sue, they did that because in the letter I asked them if it was worth the amount of money per voter to keep that polling place, or was it a better use of taxpayer money to have them drive the 7 miles to a different polling place? They didn't have to say yes, but the ones that did, we moved.
Alice, do you want to say something?
Hold on just a minute. Are there others here that want to address these issues? Then would you come forward? Who did you call on?
Alice Wyman has another appointment.
Alice, you want to come on up? Let's take you first. If you will, come up to the microphone. Give your names for the record, and then we'll move forward. And it's good to see you again.
I'm Alice Wyman. I vote at the North Star Church, and I just have a quick question. I didn't quite understand it. Maybe I'm not up to it. I got two letters, one telling me that Mark Twain would be closed temporarily because it says there's nothing there to vote on, and there's only 90 voters in that precinct that has an issue to vote on. And then I got one for North Star then, and a couple of days later, stating the same thing, that it was temporarily closed due to the fact that there was no issues for them to vote on, but there would be 90 voters going to Kazee Mills, the same as from Mark Twain. And I didn't quite understand, if there was nothing to vote on, why would 90 voters be going out of each precinct to Kazee Mills to vote? That may be a simple answer, but I didn't understand just why that was.
Donna, you want to respond to that?
I got two letters.
Okay.
Well, Alice, I'm afraid you were in the portion of voters in Bryant. You vote in Bryant that will not be voting at this election. There is nothing on the ballot for you to vote on. So you won't be voting at all.
Well, that's the reason I couldn't understand the letter. It
yes.
said there was nothing to vote on, yet 90 voters from each precinct would go to Cassie Mills to the Nazarene Church. So that was my problem. I didn't quite understand. No. If there's nothing to vote on, why 90 voters would be going?
My deputy made an error. She made two errors. One, she sent it to you because you live in Bryant, and she sent you the Mark Twain letter.
Yeah, I got both.
I know. And she tried to correct that by sending you another letter. But the first letter she sent to you said Mark Twain. It should have said Bryant. And it also had 90, which the only one who has even close to 90 is Brown Branch. She forgot to deselect a button. You have to unclick a button to get the correct information. And that's all she did. And,
Well, it just says sincerely, Donna Neely.
Yes, I sign everything. And I'm taking the blame for it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not going to punish my staff.
Morning, everyone. Tom Trotter. I voted Mark Twain District. One of the concerns I have over... Not so much over this letter. I realize if you don't have anything to vote on, you don't need a polling place open. Makes sense. However, the thing that concerns me is the continuing closing of the smaller districts. When I know several years ago, all these districts were here, Mincy, Walnut Shade, all this, and I know back at that time, there wasn't near as much money available as there is today. Even though we've hit hard times in the county and commissions had to make cutbacks. But with more money, we're getting reduction in places to vote, which puts a hardship on a lot of people. And personally, this is just my opinion, I like to see my fellow citizens of Taney County come out and vote because we all have an investment and people but not having to travel another 10, 15, 30 miles, they're not want to get out and vote. Some of them being on a fixed income, I can see that putting a financial hardship on them where they couldn't come out and vote. And I don't really see if the funding's there for the election, why keep closing them? So I don't think I really have anything more to say. Do you have any questions for me?
Well, I mean, I can give you a few comments on why, and it has gotten harder each year to staff polling places, especially during an April election. Because the election is so slow, some of our judges that have worked first years don't want to work because they know that it's going to be a very slow polling place. You know, you don't want to sit around and do nothing all day. And the average person doesn't either. So we try and move voters together to cause a larger number of people to show up at a polling place. That's one of the reasons. It's only one. But two, three voters at pro tem, I mean, the likelihood is that none of those three would show up, or maybe all three would show up. It's a husband, wife, and a neighbor. So they may already, I didn't even check, they may be already on the permanently disabled list and voting absentee. As far as somebody who's incapacitated and cannot make it out to a polling place, the law does provide for permanent absentees where we send out a letter to that individual. They let us know whether they want to vote that election or not. We send them a ballot, and they voted at home and mail it back. I cannot imagine anything any more convenient for somebody who is incapacitated, that being somebody who cannot stand in a line or travel to a polling place. That is the most convenient way to vote. And so that's why we included an absentee ballot application in the second mailing to anyone who is over the age of, I believe, 60. Even though
when you sent the mailing out to the people of the North Star and Pro Tem voting district?
We only sent it to the three people at Pro Tem because the others don't have
any. They were the only ones that pertained to.
Right, because they were the only ones who could vote.
Well.
And then we put it in the newspaper that those polling places are not going to be open.
Well, I still have trouble seeing why you keep closing down. You've already said you're going to close down North Star in the future. You know, that's part of the reason we pay taxes and stuff like that is so we can go vote at our local polling place.
Right.
And, you know.
It costs, the voting equipment at your polling place is $4,500 for each machine, and I'm required to have two. So if you were making this decision, not looking at it for yourself, but for the entire county, if you had 5,000 voters at one polling place, wouldn't you try to split that polling place and move that $9,000 worth of equipment to another polling place and relieve some of the pressure?
Well, now that's just speaking for me, being in your spot. I believe that, personally, I would try to come up with a solution where I could keep my polling places open and encourage the voters in the communities to come out and vote, but not discourage them. And this is what's happening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will, from this point on, keep all polling places open, whether there are three voters or one, if that is the wish of the public. But when you ask for that, remember the commission will be paying for that bill.
I'm Alice Sylvie, and I live like a quarter of a mile from the North Star voting precinct or place of voting, and I would just like to offer a solution that I thought was so simple to begin with when I called. We just all need to be moved back to our original voting places. So husbands and wives are not split up and where they're going to vote and everything until such time that you deem it necessary to close something. And I hope and pray you never do close our local voting precincts, because that's what America's all about. Is that that's our privilege, that's our right, is to vote. And we don't like that messed with. And we would like to just have it back like it was. And then and leave it alone until such time as it's necessary to do something. I just don't see the necessity of us being moved around like this. That's all I need to say. Thank you.
I would like to respond to that, because the three voters who are voting in Pro Tem right now, I'm going to have to move them, because if a school district is not holding an election, then I can't justify keeping it open for three voters. So I'll move them to the school district that they're in, and that'll resolve that issue. But what
fine.
If that was you?
But why are we moved? I don't need to be moved. Two or three years ago, that I'm not talking about right now. We didn't need to be moved in the first place.
Mr. Hausman, did you ever merge polling places together?
Let's stick with what her questions are. I'll come back to you if you wish to question me.
Okay. I think that would just be a solution to this problem. You know, it wouldn't be any problem to do that, I wouldn't think, until we have the necessity. And if there's two or three need to have to be moved, then do that. But why move everybody around like this? So I just thank you. Thank you.
How many years have you voted at the Little Reuter Church? How many years?
Oh, I've probably lived there 50 years.
Okay, and except for the last three times out of 50 years, you voted at the North Star Church.
Yes. And then we were moved to Mark Twain. My son goes to, stays at North Star. My sister across the highway went to Mark Twain. I mean, that is, it doesn't make sense.
Did you ever sign a survey?
Yes, I answered your survey, and I remember writing on the survey that if at such time my voting place was closed, then I would want to be moved to Mark Twain District because it was closer.
Mark Twain is closer for you. So yes, that's probably why you were moved to Mark Twain, because of the way
is,
you signed.
But I stated on there, if North Star was closed, then that would be my choice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ron, how did you handle this when you were county clerk and merged polling places together?
There were times that I merged polling places for certain elections upon the request of the political subdivisions that were conducting the elections. So if Branson School called me and said we would like to consolidate the precincts within the Branson School District to save money because they were paying for that, then I would do that. And one of two things, either I would post legal notices and or a mail out to the voters plus press releases that, in fact, we had combined precincts at the request of the political subdivision that was paying for it. I had in running elections, there are some discretions that are given to election authorities. I, as I said earlier, was one. It was my philosophy that it was important to have the small voting precincts open, that it was important to allow people the opportunity to have access to a polling place that was as close to their residence as possible. And did I ever consolidate precincts? Yes, I did. As I said, I know that I consolidated the two city precincts that were in Forsyth once. I know that I consolidated Branson Schools. The rural areas is entirely another matter. There is an exception to the law that states that if you are in a precinct, you have to have at least one polling place within that precinct. The only exception is, I think, that if in fact you are to conserve money consolidating precincts for that particular election. The reason that I'm voicing opinion now that I'm on this side of the table, which is the budgetary side rather than the election authority side, is to let you know that at least from this one county commissioner, those funds are always going to be available to the election funds to keep those precincts open. It takes a majority of this commission, but I know that at this particular budgetary time, there were no cuts to the budgetary election that I remember. Overall, actually, we increased what was in the elections budget that had been requested. And if that elections fund needs more money during the elections process during the year, I can remember that we stated we will cover those costs because they are, in fact, required, and it's something that we want to do. We feel very strongly about that being one of the last few rights that haven't been taken away from us, and by golly, we're not going to give them up.
Unless a polling place is extremely low in voters, like, for instance, 3 at pro tem, can I get a raise of hands? Do you think I should keep a polling place open for 3 voters?
Can I ask a question?
That's not a true question.
Yes, Alice.
When you asked Paul Dole how long the election had been out on the reef there, they've been voting there since I've worked there in a little one-room school with all 8 grades where I taught. So it's been voting there that long.
If the commission thinks that all the polling places should stay open, even if there's only 3 qualified voters at that polling place.
Donna, I wish you'd quit throwing up the 3 qualified voters. I think that I would find.
It is an issue.
Excuse me. I think that I would find an opportunity to call 3 voters, encourage them to do their ballots by mail. I mean, if there are just 3 people, we'll send you a ballot if you're interested in that ballot through the process of absentee balloting, and save the cost of voting if, in fact, that's the only people that are entitled at that particular election to vote. Did you start to say something? Were you raising your hand, Don?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir. Yes, sir.
You want the microphone so people can listen? Yeah.
I can certainly appreciate this community for coming out and expressing their views and wanting the rights to vote in their own community to be withheld. Because it seems like we spend an awful lot of money on the west side of the tracks, west side of 65, and we spend very little on this side of the county. The next thing is, I want to ask about this voting machine. You're saying you're spending like $5,000 a piece for a voting machines. Is this correct?
It's required by the state.
That's required for a real small community. You can't do it any other way besides get a voting machine?
Not for a state or federal election.
I think we need to see somebody in the government about this, because I think this is a way and a far away from what this government should be doing.
And let me tell you right now, I will applaud that effort. But what Donna is stating, that the federal government has placed upon the states and therefore the counties that run the elections, is horrendous. And the expense that is involved in conducting elections under the new rules, and this all came about following the 2000, I think, election process, is horrible. I do question the backup machine. Does two machines have to be on place, or do we just have to have a backup that we could send there?
For a federal election, you have to have a touchscreen machine for handicapped voters, and then the optical scan to provide your second chance voting.
You have qualified that for me, and I appreciate that. And we do have those machines in place, correct, that are currently? So there's just one of each at Bryant's precinct, for example.
That's right.
Okay.
And
okay, then you're going to see about this, right? You're going to go up to the government officials, federal, and say, this isn't right.
No, Don, I have already been doing that, and I've been doing it for the last few years. I think that what we're having to work under, as I said, is horrendous. It is absolutely foolish for America's counties and therefore the taxpayers to have to pay for elections the way that we are today. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Thank you.
The election companies in the United States and the salesmen that were premier salesmen for them when this all came about, most of them today are millionaires.
Thank you.
Yes,
and
sir.
For the record, I do not want two voting machines in each polling place. I would be thrilled to death if we only had the one.
Are there any other comments, anyone that would like to come forth? I might also make another suggestion. How many registered voters are they at the, I could still call it the Bryant precinct, but it's the?
88.
Maybe it would be worthy to ask them again about polling places or how many of them, because one of you had said that perhaps we should consolidate back to where we were and go back.
Yeah.
Let me qualify. This is no longer my bailiwick. The election authority is Donna. And maybe if we have some people that are in precincts they shouldn't be in, she can correct that. That's an easy fix for her. She just needs to know who those people are.
Yeah, maybe we would have more than 88 if she let us all go back to where we used to vote. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
There were 115 before we started changes.
And I've heard that the people in Walnut Shade drive clear to Branson. Now, I don't know about that, and I don't guess there's nobody from here.
Yeah, there's two of
them. Oh, do y'all have to drive to Branson?
Yeah, I always. Don't ask me no questions. But I would get up and say something.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Would you give your name for the record, please?
Yes, sir. My name is Robert Craig. I live at Walnut Shade, Missouri.
Thank you, Robert.
First of all, ma'am, you said you would not close Pro Tem Mark Twain because it had how many voters?
473.
Okay, and you would never close a precinct that had that many voters?
Not as long as the polling place was handicap accessible. And
now then, keep going.
I mean, there are requirements for a polling place.
Yes, they are.
Yes, it has to be.
And a lot of them are personal preferences of yours.
No, sir.
Oh, bull.
Hey, let's not get argumentative, but if you have a comment that you want to make or a question, Robert, go ahead and ask it.
Well, we voted there in that church forever. I mean, well, since it was, well, first of all, we used to vote down there with schoolhouse, and, you know, we got a better place to go. But, I mean, now we're going over there to Branson, and I don't see, I mean, you stand in line for an hour or more, and, I mean, I kind of do that, but, I mean, I see a lot of them old people. I mean, they're dragging along walkers and stuff. I mean, to me, if you're going to have a place with that many people voting, you could at least have an express lane for, you know, for the folks that, you know, don't get around so good. I mean, I understand, you know, the money issues and that kind of thing. I mean, we're all trying to save money. But I mean, I think we had like, what, 1,400? And I think there's probably two or three places we could vote closer than, I mean, to me, it seemed to me like
there were 1,400 people at Walnut Shade.
Branson, I think.
No, in Walnut Shade.
In Walnut Shade.
I think there's that many registered voters.
Okay. I'm not sure.
I think that's pretty close.
Okay.
Now then, let me.
Could I respond to your first question before you go on? Because I'm liable to forget it if you don't mind.
Sure.
You said you liked voting at the chamber building there?
No, the church.
You like voting?
The chamber building. I mean, yeah, the chamber building was fine.
I love that polling place. But that
I mean,
you know,
I understand.
Could I just respond to that one first?
Yes,
you said you really liked that polling place.
Yeah.
It was extremely accessible.
Yeah.
It was right there on the highway.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Until the Branson Chamber, who was leasing it, said we could no longer use it.
Right. Well, I understand. Well, that was because, you know, they were subletting and all kinds of crap going on there. I mean, I understand that.
Okay. Right. So I had to move them somewhere.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And the reason the Walnut Shade Church was closed, because one, it was not handicap accessible. Two, the pastor who was in charge of the church at the time, said he did not want us to put, even though I offered to pay for it, a handicap parking spot there.
Now, I've talked to him, and that's not what he said.
He is no longer the pastor there, and he wrote us a letter.
I know he's not. But I know he's not pastoring there, but, I mean, I talked to the same guy, and he was bending over backwards trying to accommodate what he was telling
me. The new pastor has come to me and said that he would allow voting there.
Yeah.
The last pastor, or not the last, I don't know how many he's been since this pastor, but the pastor who was there at the time said he didn't want it there. He said if we did that, we were going to require handicap bathrooms and all kinds of other stuff. I said, I don't know anything about that. All I know is I have to have a handicap parking spot, and it had already been, we had a team that the state sent out to review our polling places, and that one was not meeting the requirements.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. Does Bryant meet them requirements?
We're talking about Walnut Shade.
Well, I'm saying, why do they not have to make, why does our polling place have to be over and above what theirs is?
What do you mean, over and above? Yours
well,
was
I mean,
moved
are they,
for completely
have they
different
got handicapped? Reason. Have they got handicapped bathroom? I don't know. But
oh,
so you don't require them to do it, but you're requiring us to do it.
Yes, I do. I mean, yes, I do. They have to have
They just said they didn't.
They are not in charge of the polling place.
You can have a hand. You can put a handicap. You can rent one, you know.
I get a mat. A mat meets the requirement. All I have to do at those polling places is put a mat down over the gravel so that a wheelchair will roll over it.
Right.
It already had a flat entrance, and the lip
well,
on it.
I'm talking about the bathrooms and stuff now. I mean, you know.
The bathrooms were not a requirement at Walnut Shade, and they are not at Bryant, nor are they at any polling place.
I still haven't figured out what we've left down there. I mean, you know, it sounds to me like, I mean, It just doesn't make sense.
If you have a specific question on anything else, I'd be happy to answer a specific question.
Okay, let me ask you a specific one. A few years ago, my mother lives right on a Jasper, Swan Line, and she lives in Forsyth School District. Mailbox is in Jasper, which votes Branson issues. You changed her to where she had to go to Branson because her address said Branson, her mailbox did. Okay? You would not change it for no dang reason. I personally called the state. They called you and made you change it. Now then, they've come back. You come back. And the last election, she had to go to Branson to vote. She has a card that says Forsyth. You wouldn't let her in. Her name wasn't on the deal. She had to go to Branson to vote. And she has absolutely no interest in Branson politics. I mean, you know, she pays taxes, a property tax, in Swan.
Okay. Since we're talking specifically about your mother, and I know who you're talking about.
Well, you should.
Yes, I should. She's related to me. Okay? So it was not personal. We look at addresses. Let me finish, please. Okay. We look at addresses. A GIS target is sent up, and it puts a mark on a map, and we go through and constantly review our data to make sure it's correct. Her address on the map says she votes in this polling place. She has come to me and said, my driveway is here, my mailbox is here, my house is over here. The district line runs right across her driveway. We have this problem in several homes.
Fix it.
When I did fix it.
No,
that's the issue.
The last November,
guys,
she had to go
guys,
to
let's wrap this conversation up if that's all right. And I appreciate your comments. Glenn? Good morning.
This morning, yeah. My name's Glenn Amundson. I live in the township of Jasper, Walnut Shade. First of all, I want to address the polling issue. But, gentlemen, this is my third attendance this year at the meetings, and you are to be commended for the professionalism, how your meetings are being conducted. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
Because I was real vocal that last year. The reason I'm here, the people from Pro Tem and Cedar Creek, I used to know a lot of people there. This day and time, I think it's ludicrous to force someone to drive 50 miles, but I guess this problem's been resolved. You've agreed to keep their polling places open. I guess the state and county funding is available, always will be. I've heard a lot of good comments from people, citizens, taxpayers, patriots. If the federal government is telling us too much what to do, then we need to get our state rights back, period. And I mean, this is a long process, but I'm here to defend the people from the eastern part of the county. And also now, since I've heard a lot of good comments, I'm going to be very vocal about what happened to Walnut Shade. I'm going to try to keep it cool, calm, and collect and not add too much to it. But there's been statements, Madam Clerk, that you have closed places because of numbers. Walnut Shade has approximately 1,400 registered voters. You and I talked several times about this. We have lost our identity in Walnut Shade by having us to vote in Branson. Now, we haven't had a post office for several years. We're big boys. We've gotten over it. The latest issue is there's a lot of rumors. Well, Walnut Shade's going to be closed. Your address will be Craig Road, Rockaway Beach, all these rumors. So I just picked up the phone and called the postmistress. No, what they're doing, we are officially closing Walnut Shade Post Office, so there will never, ever be a post office in Walnut Shade. That's all it was about. That identity is gone. I don't live in Branson. I live in Walnut Shade, Jasper Township, and my identity has been stolen. If you're willing to keep these good people's polling precincts open, are you willing to bring Walnut Shade back?
That's a good question. Ask fairly. I have redistricting that's coming up that's going to change a lot of things across this county. Things that are going to make people mad that I have no control over. One thing is Eastern Western District Commission lines are going to change. You may or may not like that you are going to change from an Eastern District Commissioner to a Western District Commissioner or vice versa. I won't have any control over that, but I will have to respond to that. There will be also other changes within the county that include legislative districts. My responsibility, I feel, is my responsibility is to have as accurate an election as I can. To make an election accurate, I have to have as few ballot splits at a polling place as possible. I've had 12 at a polling place before, and it caused chaos. So we need to keep the number of ballots, different ballots with different issues on it, to a minimum. I think anybody who can logically have worked election can understand that it is difficult for an individual to get the right ballot when there's large crowds and you have as many as 12 ballots that you have to review. So keeping those as small as possible is a goal of mine. I also require that my polling places be handicapped. That's not just my requirement, that is the state's. And it's only the parking spot and the entrance and access to a place to vote, a machine, being able to get to a machine. Those are some of the requirements that are made. They get reviewed by the state. It's not me that goes out and reviews these polling places. It's the state. They send out people to review them. And that happened due to HAVA back in 2002, created that. So those are requirements. So when redistricting occurs, there may be other changes that occur. I have looked several times for polling places for Walnut Shade. I looked at the church there on
Highway 160.
No, it's the other one that cuts across. And think of it.
F Highway.
I looked at that church, and I have a concern about the site distance. You're coming up the hill on both sides, and the church is on the top. If I have cars pulling into that polling place and cars lined up to turn, I have a concern that somebody could be hurt. That would be on me, because I tell them that that is the polling place they have to go to. So I feel responsible to find a polling place that has a good site distance for them to turn into. So I looked, and I looked at that church. I went out with my deputy. I talked to a couple of other people. We agreed. The site distance is not very good there. So I didn't feel comfortable. I was asked by Bull Creek to look at Bull Creek, and there was nothing there. They talked about having me go up that long hill up on top to that new subdivision that they have there. I didn't feel that that was good for a February election or a November election. We could have bad roads, and that is a very steep hill. So I eliminated those two locations. Of course, Walnut Shade Church could only hold so many voters. I mean, it's not a big church.
Never been an issue in the past.
Your area is growing. The number of voters is not staying constant. And that's being proven out by the census that has come back. We've grown a lot. So I have looked at trying to find a place out there. There are not very many.
Earlier, did I understand you that you said a toilet facility was not a requirement, or did I misunderstand?
Not for voting.
Well,
not at this time. It may become.
Can I interrupt for just a second? You want to ask that question, Jim?
We have a Taney County has a bunch of property on F and 160. Could we not use one of those five buildings we have there for a bowling place?
F and 160. You're talking about those old barns?
Mm-hmm.
And do they have heat and air conditioning in there? Mm-hmm. That's a very good idea. I might have to look at that one.
Okay. Because we have.
But I don't think we should do anything until after redistricting is
well,
done.
I mean
you're it doesn't
still
make
your
sense.
Your district is not going to change. I mean, your voting location won't change. I mean, who you vote for may change, but the location's not going to change at all. And obviously we can't do anything for the April election, but
no.
I think, because one of the complaints I have, and I'm sorry I'm taking your
That's
time.
That's okay.
But one of the complaints I have is the long waiting lines over at the Branson High School.
I have a problem with that as well.
And so it seems like the Walnut Shade people may be adding to the long lines because we've moved 1,400 people over to Branson. So maybe trying to find a central location on our property. The Ambulance District is looking at buying some property from us in that corner and putting a structure there too, so we know it'll be handicap accessible and all that. But just, if you could, just consider that location. We'll work with you. If a building needs to be upgraded, since it's our buildings, we can do that. So, and it's on a, I think, good visibility on the corner.
It is. Don, I'd like to get back. Now, it's correct. You said a toilet facility is not a requirement for a voting precinct building. Is that correct?
As of the time that they did this review, they only looked at the parking place, the door, the weight of the door, the height of the, I'm not sure what it is where you
I can tell you over. It was always important to my election judges.
Well, the reason I'm talking about this
just
is,
finish
no, I'm
answering
not
that, the, no, the bathrooms are not.
The reason I'm bringing this to task is you and I discussed this, and the requirements were that you told me was the toilet facilities and the parking space. I talked to the pastor at that time. He verbally told me that he was in agreement that the church would spend the money to make the toilet facilities federal, state, or whatever compatible. And don't interrupt me. And I also told you and the pastor that out of my pocket, you give me the requirements for the signage. I would personally pay for it. I would personally go out and put that post in there. That precinct has never, the old church on 160 has never been a issue as far as disability people traversing in and out. So what
is this
saying,
the current pastor?
No, I said the prior pastor. So
the pastor who was there at the time the polling place closed said emphatically he did not want a parking place put there at the end by the door, and he had concerns that if we did that later on, they would require handicap bathrooms. I did not say we had to have handicap bathrooms.
I'm not going to get into he said, she said, I said. I know what was transpired.
So do
and I. You're wrong. To put the signage in and pay for it myself, and you elected not to. I also suggested we have two firehouses in the Walnut Shade area, Jasper Township, and you just totally ignored those. And like Mr. Strophis just stated, by moving 1,400 registered voters where we have lost our identity, that's where I'm upset. The 5 miles doesn't make or break me. I have lost my identity to Walnut Shade, and I resent it highly. It's another freedom. There's this one gentleman back here. We're slowly losing our freedoms, and I want to close because I'm fixing to get out of bound where I don't. But Mr. Stroff has stated the issue at Branson. You have taken 1,400 registered voters and moved them to the Branson gym, and the lines are notorious. So you're increasing the voting. And I could sit here and go on and on. I could say there are numerous people in Walnut Shade that are refusing to vote, but that would be a lie. There are some people that have told me, a handful, they said, I am no longer voting because of, and this is what's generated. And I heard the comments made somewhere that some people are just not going to vote. And this is un-American. And I don't understand the financing. I guess the state and does the state and the county fund voting? Do I understand this?
If it's an April election, it's paid for by the individual political subdivisions that are running the election. If it is a February election, that's paid for by the state, a February primary.
You've already stated that. Let's talk about another issue.
If it's in August or November,
well, you've already stated
Glenn,
that.
You
it's
asked,
paid for
you
by
asked
the county.
You ask a budgetary question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would like to answer from this perspective.
Okay.
I think you'll find that there are three county commissioners that sit on this board that have no problem funding polling locations within this county.
That's what I wanted. I heard you, what you said, and I just wanted it reinstated that it's not a money issue. I don't understand what it is, but there was two firehouses that you refused to look at, and I better quit, gentlemen, because you know, might not get
appreciate your comments.
All right, I appreciate the time.
I will respond on the I will respond on the fire districts. I have a concern with fire districts. They provide emergency services, and there we've had complaints whenever we had it at, I think it was 248, that sometimes the people would park in front of their garage and they couldn't get their fire truck out. So I have concerns with fire departments because they have very little parking, and you would have to park in front of a truck. So that's why I never looked at a fire department. Or would I look at an ambulance district because they provide emergency services? And I appreciate the commission giving us support because I'm going to come to you and ask for additional voting equipment to split some of these larger polling places.
I'd be delighted if you'd come to us for the monies to take a look at the rural voting places. But, Danny, did you want to make a comment?
Oh,
no?
Okay. I do have a comment to make. And, of course, Donna and I have had this discussion, and if she deems it necessary to open Walnut Shade, well, then I want to her to look at Mincy, which was the first victim of this closing of polling places. Mincy's percentage of voting is the highest percentage of eligible voters in this county. They themselves at one time had 157 eligible voters. They voted 127 voters that year. The highest percentage numbers that come out of an area, and as Glenn mentioned, the Mincy community lost its identity, and it the people there were extremely hurt by the situation. I know that there was $1,800 came out of pockets of residents down there to build a restroom at the park to where people could come and use that facility for the voting deal. They also built a handicap ramp. There was other issues that were resolved. But when you look at high percentage of voting and people that are interested but don't want to drive, when they moved to Mincy, moved to Kirbyville from Mincy, some people that were on the state line down there had to drive 20 miles the one way to get to the voting place. So, and those people have said the same thing that Glenn said, that they wouldn't vote on elections that they didn't, you know, that wasn't something that they were really interested in, when some people said they voted every election, but they were going to make difference in the elections that they took forth. So I just wanted to bring that up. I'm not here to jump all over Donna. She's an elected official. She makes those decisions. I appreciate everybody coming forward. She knows that I've had this very serious discussion with her about the Mincy area. And if they're going to be opened up and you've got the highest percentage of voters in the county, then that should be considered also.
Are there any other comments for this particular portion of our agenda? Donna, do you have more comments or wrap up? Anyone at all?
I'd just like to thank you, gentlemen, for hearing us all out and being patient with us.
Thank you, Glenn. Glad you're here.
Actually, we don't have anything on the agenda until 1 o'clock.
Mr. Commissioners, do you think that I should ask the political subdivisions that are running elections in the future if they want all polling places open, or should I just take the stand to keep them all open no matter the cost? I mean, I would not have normally asked you this question, but you allowed this meeting today, and it has become very political. So now I'm going to ask.
I'm not confident that it's political. What I think is that people have come to you with a number of concerns regarding voting and polling places. I think that you have discovered from the three of us that we personally would prefer that polling places remain open, we are going to fund those polling places. Now, if there comes a time where you need to consolidate and a political subdivision wishes for you to consolidate because they're paying for the election, such as the city of Forsyth, and you want to have it in one precinct, that's your call as election authority, and that's a decision that should be made between you and the city of Forsyth. I only use them as an example. Aside from that, this county commission has no authority to set how you register voters, how you establish voting precincts. But since you've asked, I have given you what our thoughts are as to whether or not we will fund those places should you wish to keep them open, and certainly we will.
Yes, ma'am. Even though it's other political subdivisions that would be paying for that?
None of that. I apologize. I don't even understand where you're headed with that.
Well, you said you would pay for it. In other words, if I were to keep Pro Tem open this time, would you be paying the $300 and some to keep that polling place open?
You already know the answer to that question, Donna.
Whenever Forsyth School is going to pay for it.
I'm not going to get into an argument with you about this.
Okay.
Yes.
Political subdivision,
a county is a political subdivision, cities are political subdivisions, the fire district, the ambulance district, the health center is a political subdivision. They're organized under laws within the state of Missouri. They're called a political entity or a political subdivision. They have different names. But they have the right to elect board members and to utilize the elections process. So a school can be considered a political entity or a subdivision. Different elections determine who, in fact, pay for the elections. The ultimate body that pays for and is responsible for elections is the county. When you have a municipal election like the one coming up in April, it's divided between those that are conducting the elections. So if school districts call elections, cities call elections, health center, then the county clerk is charged with responsibility of prorating what those shares of election costs will be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all.
Any other comments? If not, we'll stand in recess until 1 o'clock.